Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a fucking safe space.
Dig in your heels and hold on tight.
You can shove your opinions up your ass. That way the trumpet fearer's cock has something to keep it company. I almost got that on the first try. Almost.
Right.
Don't forget the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. You are wrong and I am right. Welcome, my friends and enemies, as I drop things. Two. What the fuck is this thing? Oh, this is the podcast. Yes, that's why I'm talking to the microphone. Welcome, friends and enemies, to Stating the Obvious podcast, brought to you by the Cynical Libertarian Society. This is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile my intellect homes in on and destroy stupid motherfucking statists all around the world. They say, great one. Were you pausing because you were waiting for the sound of the launching cruise missile? Now I was pausing because I couldn't remember what the fuck I was supposed to say. I haven't recorded for a week because I was busy working a little fucking ass off. Not as bad as the 110-hour work week. Not even near as bad, but still, it was just a lot of shit going on, which I can't really tell you about as a private event. Non-disclosure agreements were involved because people were not supposed to know. I mean, it's not like secret or evil or anything like that. It's just things that people weren't supposed to know. There was some fun stuff, and there were some challenges, and we had a good time. Mostly all around, there's a lot of late nights. I went home early most of the time because my lighting stuff was actually pretty minimal compared to the other things. So other people, usually I'm the last one leaving because I have to do lighting and I have to have lights turned off and be in the dark and all that other stuff like a mushroom. So usually I'm the one who stays there until 3 o'clock in the morning. This time other people stayed there until 3 o'clock in the morning and I was going home and like, hey, it's 10:30. I think I'm going to go home and go to bed. See you guys. It's all right. Anyways, the great one is going to talk about a book. I'm trying to jump into it because I want to knock this out. This is probably going to be 2 podcast. And I've brewed up a fresh little batch of hot mint tea. Not hot tea. Where the fuck is the book? I need the book. Can't talk about the book without the book. Oh, I got so, and then, yeah, we're working this week. Anyway, I got so much I want to podcast about. We'll see how it goes. Speaking of podcasts, I have been catching up on Adam Piggott's podcast, finally, because I finally plowed through 160-ish episodes of the Clary podcast, which I think the most recent ones were maybe about a year and a half ago. So now I have the last, whatever, year to year and a half of Clary podcast to catch up on. So I need to get that. And I'm also on that particular, because I have multiple MP3 players, on that particular MP3 player, the last thing I have to listen to, I'm listening to, this is not talking about a book, this is me rambling, but that's what I'm doing on the 28th of January in the year of our Lord and Savior, the Trump and Fuhrer, 2018. By the way, if you're new around here, I'm the Great One himself, founder of Cynical Libertarian Society. I've been podcasting for 13 years and you haven't. I'm right, I'm always right, I'll always be right, I've always been right, I'll never be wrong. You can send me email, God, dog spelled backwards, God, CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. And of course, I am on the interwebs at CYNLIBSOC.com. And you can find me on the Twitterverse for now until I get banned, and also the Gab AI at the same time, with the same name. Got the YouTube channel. I haven't put anything there in a long time. Need to sit down one day and fire up. Can I do? I guess I could. Anyway, I need to sit down sometime and put more of the podcast on the YouTube. Still can't believe I haven't been banned from YouTube for being a racist, sexist, homophobic, white supremacist, heterosexual white man with a job who likes girls. But there it is. I need to get more podcast on the YouTube so that I can hurry up and get banned from YouTube. Just so I can say, I've been banned from YouTube, then I can come on the podcast and I can fucking cyber bag. I don't get any money from YouTube anymore because they banned me. So please give me money on Patreon, even though I don't get money on YouTube now because I've never monetized my channel. And I saw somewhere now, apparently, to monetize your channel, you have to have some minimum number of viewers or something like that. Not that I care that much. It's just funny. Because it all ties back into the fucking cyber begging. Which has nothing to do with the book. What was I talking? Oh, Clary Podcast on the thing. So, on the MP3 player, there's going to be no tangenting today whatsoever. We're going to be fucking focused like a goddamn laser. Oh, shiny object. All right. The last thing I've got on that MP3 player to listen to before I remove everything and reload it, and I'm just going to reload it with all the episodes of the Clary Podcast I need to get caught up on. The last thing I'm listening to is Jordan Peterson's second appearance on the Joe Rogan podcast. Joe Rogan Show. I suppose it's a show because it's on the YouTube also. Still a podcast, which I've only listened, I think I've only listened to three episodes of Joe Rogan, Jordan Peterson's first appearance, and then when Alex Jones and Eddie Bravo were on there, and now Jordan Peterson's second appearance. Joe Rogan seems like a really smart guy. I should attempt listening to more of his stuff, depending probably on who the guests are and everything. Anyway, I don't know. It seems like a really good podcast. Show, whatever. He seems like a very smart individual. And smart in the sense that he asked really good questions. That's what I've liked about listening to the three podcasts of his that I've listened to. He says things and he talks about things and he has opinions and everything, but he's also really good at asking questions. Like Jordan Peterson will spew out this, a bunch of fucking stuff. And Rogan's like, okay, hold on, let's break this down. So when you say this, what do you mean? Okay, now, all right, great. Now when you say this, what do you mean? He's really good at hearing what's being said and going, okay, let's really drill into this. Let's analyze this. Let's break this down. Let's define these words, which as we know is important if you're trying to do philosophy. You have to define your fucking words. If it's a casual conversation, no one gives a shit. But if you're going to attempt to be intelligent, if you're going to attempt to do philosophy or something close to it, you have to define your terminology. Then on the other MP3 player, I'm loaded up with Adam Piggott, and I'm getting caught up on him. I'm right now listening to the podcast right after he moved to, I want to say Holland, and I feel like that's the wrong country because I'm stupid or something. Wherever he moved to in Europe from Australia. So anyhow, there's been a lot of really good stuff there. I have missed listening to Adam's podcast because it's really good. Adam is sort of the anti-Great One podcast. Adam's podcasts tend to be like focused with one central theme. And he does a little bit of warm-up now and he talks about, and then he moves on to the central theme. And he talks about the central theme and then he's finished and he doesn't go all over the place. So it's kind of like my podcast in the sense that he's stunningly brilliant and, well, brilliant. And then also, what's that other? Oh, yeah, brilliant. So in that way, it's a lot like my podcast, but it's not like my podcast because he has an Australian accent, which I don't have because if I did, I could get more girls. And he's more focused on the topic. Hey, I'm jotting down some notes, and if I don't lose them, I'm going to talk about some of the things that Adam has talked about and mentioned. But not today, sometime in the future, because now we're 10 minutes into the podcast, and now we should start talking about the book, because that's what you came here for, because you can see it in the fucking title of the podcast. This book is called The One Device, The Secret History of the iPhone. It's written by Brian Merchant. I was at the library looking at the books on the shelf because there were no cute girls there to look at that day. And I saw this sitting there and picked it up and popped it open and read a couple of pages and I said, this sounds kind of interesting. So what this is in an overview, he talks about the history of the iPhone. he talks about, because of course the spiel from Steve Jobs is that Apple invented the iPhone and all this other stuff, but he takes this and goes, okay, where did all of these, you know, okay, Apple may have taken all of this stuff and put it into one device, but where did all of this stuff come from? For example, the glass that makes up the front, which is called Gorilla Glass. Well, Apple did not invent Gorilla Glass. Where did that come from? And of course, the touch screen, right? Apple, according to what he says in here, and I wasn't there, and I don't know, but he says that Steve Jobs claims that he created the touch screen for the iPhone, which no, is not true. So there's two kinds of touch screens. There are resistive touch screens, and there are capacitive touch screens. Now, I'm not claiming to be an expert on this. My knowledge is very basic here. Resistive touchscreen is the one you may have encountered. Those are what is called the shitty touchscreens, because it relies on you touching the screen, and it's like the screen has like two layers, and you push the layers together, and where they come together, that tells the device where you're touching it, and you can only touch it in one place at a time, and they're not very accurate. So if you've ever worked with a touchscreen that you're touching and you're having to push really hard on it to try to get it to do anything, that was a shitty, resistive touchscreen. That pause was because I almost knocked something off the table. Then there's the capacitance touchscreen, which is the type your iPhone or probably your Android or whatever it is and your iPad have in it, where you can touch it in multiple touch it. It's like a girl. You can touch it in multiple places and get a response, right? So like with your girlfriend, right? You can touch her on the cooch and you can touch her on the butt at the same time and you can get a response. And if you like touch her in two other different places, you can get different responses. So your iPhone is like, so your girlfriend and your, I guess your boyfriend too, your girlfriend and your boyfriend and your fucking iPhone all have capacitive touch screens. You can touch them in multiple places and they will do at the same time and they will do different things. That's how you do like the pinching to shrink it or pinching out or whatever you call it to zoom and all this other shit. So apparently, again, I wasn't there, but apparently Steve Jobs claims he invented this, which he did not. And in the book, they take you to the place where the first capacitive touchscreen was invented, and they talk to the guy who made it. And so it's all this stuff. It's really fascinating if you're into this kind of shit. And if you're not into this kind of shit, then you're going to not like this book. They also, by they I mean he, Brian Merchant, also talks about the manufacturing. He goes to the places where the metals are withdrawn from the earth, doing massive amounts of environmental destruction, which I talk about every time I talk about this sort of stuff. I love to harp, as you know, on the supply chain, right? How many times have I told you people that all of these metals that are used to make your iPhone and the batteries for the Tesla car and stuff, they're all strip mined out of the planet Earth or mined out of the planet Earth, and they are extracted from the ore using toxic chemicals. Well, Brian goes to the place where all those toxic chemicals are dumped into a big lake of fucking poisonous death. And so if you, once again, I hate the iPhone and I care about the environment. No, because if you cared about the environment, you wouldn't get a new iPhone every fucking time one comes out. Because every iPhone involves a shit ton of environmental destruction, which Brian is a lefty. Yes, he is a left-wing statist, but to his credit, he does not shy away from the environmental destruction. Brian Merchant is an editor at Motherboard, Vice's science and technology outlet, and the founder of Terraform, its online fiction outlet. His work has appeared in The Guardian, Slate, Salon, Fast Company, Discovery, Good, Paste, Grist, and Beyond. I don't know what most of those are. So Brian is a left-wing statist. He, of course, at some point laments the fact that there weren't very many women involved in making the iPhone. Oh my God, let me restrain myself other than to say that of course women were not involved in making the iPhone. Number one, women don't go to school for engineering. Number two, women consume, they don't create. Name any, the great one would normally say, name something that women have invented and contributed to society. Well, I found out this weekend, that a woman invented and contributed to society a coat hanger that is encased in velvet. That, if you've ever seen a coat hanger with velvet around it, okay, that was invented by a woman. Bravo, girls, bravo. Not quite on par with electricity, fire, the wheel, elevators, air conditioning, computers, iPhones. But hey, at least I now know that there's something that you girls have fucking contributed to the world. Velvet wrapped clothes hangers. Ugh. Yeah, I take back everything I've said about your fucking liberal arts degrees being worthless. So he is a lefty, and it rears its head occasionally. However, the book is not overtly political. And if you're saying, great one, give us, should we read the book? Are you going to recommend we read the book or not? Yes, the great one recommends you read the book. It is a very well-written book. It's very entertaining. It's very informative. He also, with his Chinese guide, he manages to sneak in. Well, he didn't sneak in. He gets past the guards. I'm not going to tell you how he gets past the guards. Read the fucking book. He and his handler get past the guards and get into the factory where the iPhone is made. Now, the factory is not a building. The factory is like a town with a wall around it. And there's multiple factories inside, and they have their own... this is the thing. You heard about this in the news. If you pay attention to the news, you know more about it than I do. Where all the people were jumping off the balconies of their dormitories and committing suicide and everything. So this factory is actually a small city. It's got restaurants and dormitories and stores and everything. So he goes to China and tries to get in to actually see the iPhone being built. And they have a contact on the inside, but the contact, who's like a mid-level manager, tries to get them in and he can't do it. And so they end up infiltrating the facility. It's great. So anyhow, it's a great little adventure. I'm not going to tell you any more about it because I am encouraging you to read the fucking book. All right, here we go. Another sip of tea and let's get started. Page 5. First full paragraph. What am I reading here? On to break. Okay. That transformation has turned the iPhone into the biggest star of the consumer electronics world since, scratch that, it's the star of the entire retail world. No, even that undersells it. The iPhone might actually be the pinnacle product of all capitalism to this point. In 2016, Horace I can't pronounce this person's name, D-E-D-I-U. Dedu? Sorry, Horace, I'm fucking up your name. Not intentional. A technology industry analyst and Apple expert listed some of the best-selling products in various categories. Top car brand, Toyota Corolla, 43 million units. Best-selling game console, Sony PlayStation, 382 million. The number one book series, Harry Potter, 450 million books. The iPhone, 1 billion. That's 90s. Quote, the iPhone is not only the best-selling mobile phone, but also the best-selling music player, the best-selling camera, the best-selling video screen, and the best-selling computer of all time. It is, quite simply, the best-selling product of all time, unquote. I know you have an iPhone, and I know you think differently, but you're just conforming. And for those, it's the pinnacle of capitalism. How many iPhone users hate capitalism? Now also, let me say, I'm not finished reading this section yet. If you've listened around here a long time, you know I have the love-hate relationship with Apple. And it's not so much Apple that I hate as the people who use Apple devices. Because as I've said, Apple devices are designed so that the stupidest people alive can use them. And for the most part, it is the stupidest people alive who use Apple products. Right? If you see someone with an Apple computer and an iPhone, for example, I don't know, what's her name? Ellen might have had an iPhone and an Apple computer, and she might have been incapable of showing up for work when she said she was going to do so and not even bothering to tell anybody she's not going to come to work. When you see people with Apple devices, well, when I see people with Apple devices, I automatically make assumptions about those people based on their possession of an Apple device. And that automatic assumption I make is not favorable. Now, every once in a while, people prove me wrong. But anyhow, reading about the technology behind the iPhone, and for example, the levels of encryption and all this other stuff, I mean, a lot of it is. It's pretty fucking brilliant. The device is pretty fucking brilliant. Again, the problem with the iPhone from where I'm standing, that it's a piece of brilliant technology. The people who use it are all douchebags, and the problem with the Apple side is the way everything has to be locked in with Apple, right? If you want to add apps to it, you got to have an App Store account. If you want to have an App Store account, you got to give us a credit card number and a name. It's like, my God, and your shit is on the cloud. It's like, well, how do I get my shit off the cloud? Well, you can't get your shit off the cloud, and you got to use Apple this, and you got to use Apple that. And of course, that is one of the reasons why Apple products work so well, is because everything is proprietary, everything is in-house. Apple has control over the hardware, control over the software, as opposed to the world of PCs, where anybody and everybody can make PC hardware, and you're trying to install Windows on it, and Windows is fucking up because it just does, and then you got people doing Linux, and you get, you know, there's no coordination. I mean, this is the advantage and the disadvantage of Apple products. Everything is made by Apple, the hardware, the software, everything, so it can be very tightly integrated. The disadvantage is that you can't get into that integration, at least not easily, from the outside. You can, of course, jailbreak an iPhone. And he talks about jailbreaking iPhones in here, so forth and so on. It's in contention for most stared at, too. According to Nielsen, Americans spend 11 hours a day in front of their screens. One estimate says 4.7 hours of that time is spent on their phones, which leaves approximately 5 waking hours for more traditional life living, eating, exercising, and driving between the places where we look at screens. Now, 85% of Americans say that mobile devices are a central part of their everyday life. That is, to me, fucking terrifying. The idea that a mobile device is a central part of your everyday life. I mean, I suppose to an extent, my computer is a central part of my everyday life in the sense that I turn it on every day and I check my email. And of course, I use it for the podcasting, I use it for the photography, shit like that. But when I walk out of the house, the computer is left behind. And it's no longer a central part of my life. But to say, oh yes, my cell phone is a central part of my life. Man. to be that tethered to a device. You may know you use your phone a lot, but according to a study conducted by British psychologists, you probably use it twice as much as you think you do, which makes sense given that we rarely let our phones leave our side, an attachment we've had with very few technologies. And of course, again, the great one, I have a phone somewhere. It's not even turned on right now. It may not even be charged up. I went out, oh God, it was beautiful today. It got up to almost 60 degrees in the sunshine, even though it's winter. Went outside wearing shorts and sandals and took a walk and went and shot a little pinball. And went out again, took another walk and just got some sunshine and some fresh air. Did not take a cell phone with me because I'm not a loser. Because I can leave my home without a cell phone. I am not one of the 85%. Quote, it's almost vanishingly rare that we pick a new device that we always have with us. The, quote, the historian of mobile technology, John Agar, says, quote, clothes, a paleolithic thing, glasses, and a phone. The list is tiny. In order to make that list, it has to be desirable almost universally, unquote. Meanwhile, the universally desirable device has made Apple one of the most valuable companies on the planet. That would be because of capitalism and profit, which many iPhone owners claim to hate. This is me editorializing, not the book. So again, this is why I despise people who have Apple products, because they are more likely to be leftist. They are more likely to be fucking anti-capitalism. They are more likely to hate rich people. They are more likely to hate making a profit. And yet they have made Apple one of the most valuable companies on the planet. What the tech press called the Jesus phone now accounts for 2/3 of the company's revenue. Profit margins on the iPhone have been reported to be as high as 70% and as low as 41%. No wonder Google's Android phones, which are now even more ubiquitous, if I could say that word, than iPhones, emulate them so closely they kicked off the industry's most vicious patent battle. In 2014, Wall Street Analysis attempted to identify the world's most profitable product, and the iPhone landed in the top slot, right above Marlboro cigarettes. The iPhone is more profitable than a relentlessly marketed drug that physically addicts its customers. So there's a little bit of leftistness surfacing, but here's the thing. Okay, he calls Marlboro cigarettes a relentlessly marketed drug that physically addicts its customers. Newsflash. The iPhone, the cell phone in general, the smartphone, is a relentlessly marketed drug which physically addicts its customers. So again, when you see the people who are used to using the phone, you take the phone away from them or their phone is broken, or what, right? Have you seen people whose cell phone is broken or whatever, or they don't have it with them? Have you seen them start like twitching and you'll see them reaching for their pockets or whatever, and you'll watch them, they'll start flailing about? No, they are physically addicted to the phone. Who was it? Hold on a second, I'm trying to remember. Someone told me this. Someone told me something. It happens sometimes. Shit, I can't remember. Someone, they said to me, they were at this place and they were sitting there and they were waiting. And while they were waiting, they were, it was a, whatever, like an airport or a bus station or something where there's a bunch of people sort of packed closely together. And this person said, yeah, I was looking at other people using their phones and a lot of them weren't even doing anything. They just had the phone up and they were like swiping between the screens, and they'd open the calculator and then they'd close the calculator, and they'd you know, switch to the different thing, and they'd just open like the notebook and then close the notebook. He said, I'm pretty sure it was a he. I can't remember who the fuck told me this and where they were at. But he said they weren't even doing anything. They were just opening apps and closing apps. And yes, this is what people do. It's just to have something to do. It's exactly like smoking a cigarette. You don't need to smoke a cigarette. You just need something to do with your body. It's like when people watch television. They need something to do with their body, so they eat. This is why the more you watch TV, the more likely you are to be overweight. This is why I'm trying to groom myself, to train myself, that when I'm watching television, I lift weights. Or I also eat, as you know, if you've been around here for a while. You know that while I'm eating is my prime television watching time. But in that case, I eat my meal, then I turn off the TV. If I'm actually sitting down to watch a movie, I will grab the weights and sit there and just do the fucking little bit of weight shit while I'm watching the movie. And it helps keep me from going, oh yeah, I'm watching a movie. I'll go make some popcorn. Ah, I'm watching a movie. Let me go eat a piece of chocolate cake and then seven pieces of chocolate cake later, right? We know what happens. We know how that works. It is an addiction. The cell phone, the smartphone, is an addiction. Just like the cigarettes. There's a dependency parallel here too. Like so many, I read news on my iPhone. I'm lost without Google Maps at my fingertips. I keep a constant side eye on the device for notifications. I check Twitter and Facebook and chat on messages. I write emails, coordinate workflow, scan pictures. As a journalist, I record interviews and snap publication quality photos. The iPhone isn't just a tool, it's the foundational instrument of modern life. I think it's a really good idea for the foundational instrument of modern life to be controlled by a corporation. I don't know, I think the foundational instrument of modern life should be something like fire, maybe electricity? I don't know, agriculture? But then again, as we all know, I'm a technology philistine. I am a barbarian. I can leave my home without a fucking cell phone in my pocket, or my hand, or up my ass, or wherever you people put them. Page 55. Ah, okay, this is a long section, so we'll be starting it here. Or do I skip this and save this for the next? Well, can I get this done? Yeah, no, I can stay focused. Of course I can. Oh, yes, that's it. He took a iPhone 6 to a place, and they crushed the iPhone. They pulverized it into a powder. Excuse me. So that they could measure exactly how much of what chemical is in the iPhone. Not chemical, element. I'm getting confused. I know. What else is new? The chart is in here. The elements in your iPhone are worth $1.03. Here's what's in your iPhone: aluminum, arsenic, gold, bismuth, carbon, calcium, chlorine, cobalt, chrome, copper, iron, gallium, hydrogen, potassium, lithium, magnesium, manganese, molybdenum. Not familiar with that one. Its chemical symbol is Mo. Nickel, oxygen, phosphorus, lead, sulfur, silicon, tin, tantalum, titanium, tungsten, vanadium, and zinc. There's more arsenic in the iPhone than any of the precious metals, about 0.6 grams, though the concentration is too low to be toxic. The amount of gallium was a surprise. Quote, "It's the only metal that is liquid at room temperature," unquote, Michaud says. Quote, "It's a byproduct. You have to mine coal to get gallium," unquote. The amount of lead, however, was not. Quote, "The world has tried very hard to get rid of lead, but it is difficult to do," unquote. Well, it's kind of like social justice. We haven't tried hard to get rid of social justice warriors at all, because none of you out there, other than the great one, are willing to turn off the welfare and let them starve to death. Because you know what would convert social focus? Focus, save it. You know what would convert social justice warriors from being social justice warriors to getting real jobs? Do you want to fucking know? It's not your fucking YouTube videos. It's not you cyber begging on Patreon. It's sure as hell not my podcast. You know what would convert them? Hunger. That's what would fucking convert them. If they got hungry, they'd stop being social justice warriors and they'd get jobs in a fucking heartbeat. But oh no, we can't turn off the welfare, can we? Oh no, because we don't want the social justice warriors to be hungry. Anyhow, you're going to hear about that in a future podcast, much more in depth with some analysis. We're focusing. Focus. Laser-like focus. The oxygen, hydrogen, and carbon found are associated with different alloys used throughout the phone. Adenium tin oxide, for instance, is used as a conductor for the touchscreen. Aluminum oxides are found in the casing, and silicon oxides are used in the microchip, the iPhone's brain. That's where the arsenic and gallium go too. Silicon accounts for 6% of the phone, the microchips inside. The batteries are a lot more than that. They're made of lithium, cobalt, and aluminum. And there are elements locked inside each iPhone that constitute too small a percentage of the phone's mass to show up in the analysis. In addition to precious metals like silver, there are crucial elements known as rare earth metals, like yttrium, neodymium, and cerium. All of these elements, precious or abundant, have to be pulled out of the earth before they can be mixed into alloys, molded into compounds, or melted into the plastics that make up the iPhone. Apple does not disclose where it, because it's Hussein Obama, the most transparent administration ever, because liberals are all about transparency. But you own an iPhone and Apple won't tell you where it gets the raw materials from, because it doesn't want you to know how shitty the conditions are for the people who are scraping those fucking elements out of the earth. Oh, but you care about the environment. Oh, you drank some water the other day from a plastic bottle and you put it in the recycle bin. Oh, you care so much. Apple does not disclose where its non-conflict minerals come from, but many sources have been reported over the years. Here's a quick sampling of how some of the crucial elements in the iPhone are mined. Aluminum. Aluminum is the most abundant metal on Earth. It's also the most abundant metal in your iPhone due to its anodized casing. Aluminum comes from bauxite, which is often stripped mined. God, hold on, I can't talk. Give me a fucking second to focus, my worthless ass. Okay, here's a pro tip for those of you who want to be podcasters, because I'm obviously a pro. You would think by now, I mean, 13 years of podcasting and everything, you would think by now that I would have learned that before you're going to record a podcast and thus talk, you do not unless you're an idiot like me, light a stick of incense in the room where you're about to record a podcast, because the smoke will fill the room, and while you're trying to fucking talk, you will choke to death and die. You would think the Great One would know this by now. But as I keep telling you, humans are stupid. We have to learn shit the hard way. I don't know why. It's biological. It's neurochemistry. I don't know. Hey, let's let women vote. Okay, we're learning this the hard way. No. We could not. We couldn't fucking learn this the easy way. Aluminum comes from bauxite, which is often strip mined, an operation that can devastate the natural landscape and imperil natural habitats. And it takes 4 tons of bauxite to produce 1 ton of aluminum, creating a load of excess waste. Aluminum smelters suck down a full 3.5% of the globe's power. In the process, they release greenhouse gases that are 9,200 times more potent than carbon dioxide. But you see, that doesn't matter, because you need your fucking iPhone 7 so that you can take selfies of yourself making duck lips and put them on Instagram. You don't give a fuck about environmental destruction. You care about yourself. This is why the Great One despises you. This is why you are shit and you are garbage and you are a liar when you tell me you care about the environment and then that you just got your new iPhone 7 because, oh, can't keep using an iPhone 6. Oh my God, no! I have to buy every new Apple product that comes out, because I'm thinking different. Cobalt. Most of the cobalt that ends up in the iPhone is in its lithium-ion battery, which comes from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. In 2016, the Washington Post found laborers working around the clock with hand tools in small-scale pits in DRC cobalt mines. They rarely wore protective gear, and the mines were almost totally unregulated. Why, I thought you liberals loved regulation. I thought we needed more regulation. Why, the banks and the Wall Street and guns, those and white men, those all need to be regulated. Bathrooms need to be regulated. Everything needs to fucking be regulated. Well, where's your fucking regulation? Oh, it's okay. We're mining cobalt to make iPhones. We don't need any regulation for that, because we don't want to drive up the cost of the iPhone and, you know, do anything to hurt Apple Corporation's profit margins. No. Child laborers toiled here also. But we care about the children's. Quote, deaths and injuries are common, unquote, the investigation found. Common is, of course, a nebulous word. If you listen to this podcast, you know that. But still. By the way, speaking of deaths and injuries, did something happen today? Because I don't pay attention to the news. I'm walking around and the flags are at half mast. It's like at this point, I don't watch the news. I go out, I'm walking, I see the flags. The flags are at half mast. It's like, oh, let me guess. Somebody killed or blew up some people. And, oh, wait, I wonder what the religious beliefs of the murderer were. I wonder if it was a Muslim. So anyhow, did something happen today or the last couple of days? Because the flags are at half mast. I don't even care anymore. I don't even care. Because we can solve all of this. It's really easy. I'm going to explain it to you, and I'm going to explain why you're never going to do it. Anyhow, moving on. Focus like a laser. Focus. Tantalum. Around the time that Apple announced it had reaped the largest corporate profits of any public company in history, it verified that its tantalum suppliers were conflict-free. Tantalum was, for a long time, largely sourced from the DRC, where rebels and the army alike forced children and slaves. I thought slaves only existed in the southern states of the United States of America. I mean, slavery never happened anywhere else on the planet Earth other than the Confederacy, right? I mean, Brian is obviously a lying piece of shit. Obviously, he hates women, he hates children, he hates black people, he probably hates gays and transsexuals as well. I can't believe you wrote this shit. What do you mean slaves? There have never been slaves on the planet Earth except in the evil Confederacy. And oh, thank goodness those warm, loving, compassionate Northerners came down and, you know, killed all those people and burned down cities and saved the slaves. Oh, thank you, Yankee Land. Thank you for sending your invading armies. Oh my God, everything is so fucking wonderful. Now that you fucking Yankees have saved us Southerners from our fucking racism. Thank you so much. Anyhow, obviously he's lying. Where rebels and the army alike forced children and slaves to work in mines and used the mining profits to sustain their campaigns of violence. Mass rapes. Hashtag me too. Child soldiers, at least they're working for a living, and genocides have been bankrolled by the 3TG. I don't know what the 3TG is. It doesn't say that in here. Interesting. Rare earth metals. The iPhone's hundreds of components require a suite of rare earth metals, if I could talk, such as seranium, which is used in a solvent to polish touchscreens and to color glass, and neodymium, which makes powerful tiny magnets and shows up in a lot of consumer electronic parts. And mining these elements is complex and sometimes toxic. Most rare earth metals come from a single place, Inner Mongolia, a semi-autonomous zone in northern China. There, the byproducts from mining have created a lake that's so gray, so drenched in toxic waste, that it has been dubbed, quote, the worst place on earth by the BBC. Quote, our lust for iPhones, flat-screen televisions, and the like created this lake. Unquote, BBC investigator Tim McGowan, one of the few journalists to actually see the lake, told me. Rare earth metals aren't rare in the way we typically interpret that term. They're not scarce. Workers simply have to mine an awful lot of earth to get a small amount of, say, neodymium, which makes for an energy and resource-intensive process that results in a lot of waste. Apple, and just about everyone else, outsources the operation to China, largely because the country doesn't have the environmental regulations that other nations do. A U.S. company called Molycorp tried to mine cleanly for rare earth metals in the southwestern desert. It went bankrupt in 2014. The BBC investigation revealed the lake isn't just toxic, it's radioactive. Clay collected from its bed tested 3 times higher than the background radiation. 10. Bangka Island in Indonesia is home to about half of the 10 smelters on Apple's list. Jesus fucking Christ. Learn to talk. This is probably because, as Bloomberg Businessweek reports revealed, it's where their manufacturing partner Foxconn sources its tin. The Bangka Island mines are chaotic and lethal. Miners flock to thousands of small-scale pits, each 50 to 40 feet deep, many of them illegal, and dig the tin out of the ground with pickaxes or by hand. The mine bosses frequently use tractors to create pits that leave almost vertical and unstable walls of earth that are apt to come crashing down on the laborers. In 2014, the fatality rate was one miner a week. After Bloomberg published the report, Apple sent an envoy to Indonesia and pledged to work with local groups and the environmental organization Friends of the Earth, though it's not entirely clear what the impact has been. Meanwhile, the mining operations have razed large parts of the island's flora, and miners have taken to dredging the seabed for ore, plowing through the reefs and aquatic habitats. Yes, but you lefties, you care about the earth so much. You don't care about the earth enough to, I don't know, maybe even just skip every other iPod just to reduce the demand for mining all of these chemicals and doing all of this destruction to the earth. No, and you can't give up your fucking flat screen TV, and you can't give up your iPod. You can't give up any of your addictions, but God forbid somebody light a fucking cigarette, or God forbid some evil right-winger want to own a gun. Oh, you'll regulate that shit. But the environment? Ah, fuck it. I need the iPhone 7.